Chapter 1. Foster Things. G told me we were moving again. If you count foster homes and living in cars where I, as the youngest, slept in a footwell, we'd moved at least 15 times already. And I was only 8 years old. This move was worse, though. In this move, I was losing my sisters. The oldest one of us, Sherry, had already left to live with her husband and new baby. The rest of us had found ourselves, once again, to be wards of the state. Camille at 17, G almost 14, Norm 12, and me. We were in an upstairs bedroom of a house we called the Toad House. Because it was drab gray, with big front windows that looked like hooded eyes, my clothes were in this room, but I'd never slept here. G, Norm, and I were like a litter of pups, curling up every night in the living room together, where we felt safe. Months ago, our mother, Cookie, had abandoned the four of us in the Toad House. Later that same day, Camille moved into her best friend's house. She didn't want to leave us behind, but she thought maybe if she had a real home and didn't have to worry about food, she can get a few odd jobs and make enough money to buy food for us. When Cookie finally returned 2 nights ago, she beat G so violently there were raised bruises like purple walnuts running from her brow to her cheek. Around G's swollen and now lopsided lips were craggy lines of scabs. G thought it was probably her social studies teacher, Mr. Brown, who called social services the next day. G told me she hadn't realized how bad she looked until she saw Mr. Brown's face turn white at the sight of her. It's always harder to ignore the truth when you see that truth in someone else's eyes. Now Cookie was in the kitchen with a silver-haired social worker, and another social worker sat in the living room. She was a pretty blonde-haired lady who looked just like Mrs. Brady from the Brady Bunch. "Why can't I go live with you?" I asked G. We were looking out the window at the two gray cars parked on the gravel driveway. One was waiting to take Norm and me away. The other was for G and Camille. After G learned that social services was snooping around, she called Camille at her friend's house. Camille rushed home to take care of us. There were too many of us to fit in the same car, love bug. G was as skinny as a piece of licorice, losing her hair from malnutrition and the stress of having to steal food just to make sure Norm and I would keep growing. "But we always fit in one car." "Not this time," G said. Tears streaked down her face. I grabbed G's licorice leg and said, "But you always said that we were so skinny we can all be folded up to fit anywhere." "And we are really skinny now. We can fit in the same car." "Well, maybe we can, but the home that you're going to prefers little kids like you and Norm because you're cuter, sweeter, and easier to hug." G picked me up and squished me in her arms. I could feel her bones and muscles and all her love coming out at me. Cookie, our mother, had arms as big as my belly. All that bubbling flesh, and she never used any of it to love us. There were boyfriends, however. Men who got a charming, purring version of Cookie reserved just for them. Sometimes Cookie paid the rent with her flesh. Watching Cookie, I absorbed a quick lesson. Barely understood at the time, but later fully digested, of just how much utility the female form can hold. "I'm not a baby," I told G. She brushed my hair with her darting fingers and said, "You will always be my baby, Mia Bambina." G stopped talking for a minute, as if something were stuck in her throat. Her lumpy face was wet with tears. And then finally she said, "I'm so sorry, Mia Bambina. I'm so, so sorry." "But you didn't do anything wrong. You were protecting me." I started to touch my sister's face, but pulled my hand away when I remembered how much those walnut bruises had hurt when I'd touched them last. "I was supposed to take care of you forever," G said, and she began crying again. With everything we'd endured and everything we'd seen, you'd think we'd also seen a lot of crying. But we were scrappy, willful, and driven. We knew how to get a loaf of bread out of a grocery store with no cash in less than 60 seconds. We knew how to manage landlords, bill collectors, our mother's old boyfriends, and enraged wives, whose husbands had slept with Cookie, and nosy neighbors as they hunted down Cookie.